Bibles for our scripture reading this morning to the book of Job. Some would pronounce that Job, but we would call it Job. Job chapter 1. If you open your Bible in the middle, you'll be in Psalms, and the book right before that is Job chapter 1. And we're going to have some selective verses, so if you have your Bibles, follow along with me. You might have a different translation. That's all right. It all comes out the same if you can read between the words there. All right? Job chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect as far as maturity was concerned and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-donkeys and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men of the East. Let's skip to verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for nothing? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Verse 14. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven and has burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out thee bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Verse 22, "In all of this, Job, sin not, nor charge God foolishly." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and we open up your word and ask you to teach us. We depend upon your Holy Spirit to make it known. And Lord, you know the circumstances of our life and what we're going through. And I pray that there will be a word for each one here today, a word from God. We've come to meet with you. You've said where two or three are gathered together in your name, you're in the midst, and we're in the midst. You're in the midst of us right now. And so speak to us. Make this a worthwhile time, and may we leave here encouraged and strengthened, ready to face whatever you have before us this week. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are times in our life when our heart kind of jumps in our throat and we're scared. We're afraid. We don't know what to do. It's like during those kind of times, the very foundation of our life is shaken. Our security, our peace, our happiness, our family, our future. David asked the question in Psalm 11. He said, "If the foundations be destroyed, what do we do? What do we do when things are up in the air? What do we do when we face crisis? What do we do when all of a sudden the phone rings and the message isn't so good on the other end? What do we do when everything just looks bleak and black and we're not sure what the future's going to hold?" Well, if you were to ask God what to do, he would say, "Seek me. Ah, you say, well, that's so simplistic. Yeah, but that's the message he's trying to get across from Old into New Testament, from beginning to the end. In fact, two times God said specifically, and I could probably quote way more than these, but he says, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually. No matter what crosses your path, seek him. Now, seeking the Lord will open the door of God to his character. What God is to you all the time. He's loving, he loves you. He's providing, he provides for you. He's wise, he'll direct you and counsel you. What God is, he is all the time. And when you seek him, you discover what God is. And furthermore, you discover his purpose, because God has a purpose for everything that takes place in your life. And so in your darkest hour, in crisis, in chaos, in confusion, when you're feeling your life crushed by your circumstances, this is the time, especially when you need to connect with God and seek him. When you're going through tragedy, when you face the death of a loved one, when things go wrong, when your financial bottom falls out, this is when you need to connect with God. You say, well, how do I do that and really get from him what I need during that hour of time? Well, to find the answers, we turn to the book of Job. Job, in one day, lost everything. His business, his career, his home, family members, 7 sons and 3 daughters. His health. And what did he do? Well, he fell on the ground, face in the dirt, and he worshiped God. You say, well, how did he do that? How would I focus when my eyes are filled with tears? How do I connect when my world is caving in? Well, from Job, we learn 4 things, and I want to share them with you. You might want to write them down and keep them in the fly leaf of your Bible, because if you're not facing a crisis now, you will. As we go through life, there are times when things go wrong. And things look black. And we're not sure where to turn or what to do. And it's at that time we need to remember that we're not alone. Others have gone down this path before us and have learned. And we can glean from them things that would help us at such a time. When facing crisis, you need to connect with God, number one, by telling God exactly how you feel. By telling God exactly how you feel. Now turn up to Job chapter 7. Now the book of Job is a narrative, a story of what took place. And so to glean the principles from it that we want to glean for our life when we're facing crisis, we have to skip around a little bit and kind of just draw them out. So that's why I'm taking you up to chapter 7. Job chapter 7 and verse 11. Job 7, verse 11. Job is speaking here. He says, therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. In other words, I'm not going to keep quiet. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. We are encouraged in Scripture to pour out our heart to the Lord. Now, what's our heart? Well, that's the seat of our emotions. God wants to hear how you feel. If you're angry, express it. If you're bitter, let him know. If you're grief-stricken, tell him. If you're fearful, if you're frustrated, if you're guilty, who better to talk about these emotions than to God? And that's what Job is saying here in verse 11. He says, I can't be quiet any longer. I have some anguish going on inside of me. I think you and I would too if we experienced all that he experienced in one day. He says, I'm bitter. I want to know why this is happening. Now, Job didn't have the introductory chapter to his story. He didn't know about that little dialogue that was going on. All of a sudden, this hit him. And he was left with all of these emotions within. And he's simply being honest with God. He's opening up. He's looking for answers. And in doing so, he's seeking God. He's turning to God. He's unburdening himself on God. In fact, someone has said we can divide the book of Job into three parts. In the first part, Job expresses his confusion and frustration. Why is this happening? In the second part, he's expressing his complaint. God, I don't like this. This doesn't seem fair. In the third part, he accuses God. God, do you really know what you're doing? Are you the God you say you are? Is this your love? You see, often when we go through adversity, it casts shadows of doubt on our faith. And we have these emotions, we have these questions. God can handle them. And so rather than stuffing them down, rather than pretending that they're not there, let God know, hey, God, I'm struggling. I don't understand what's happening. My wife and I raised two boys. And while we were doing that, I don't think they ever doubted that we loved them or that we had lived longer than them or that we had had more experience in life than them or that we had more education than them. But there were times, I can say, when they doubted my judgment. And when they did, I preferred, rather than just stuffing it down and keeping silent, that they came to me for open dialogue. Hey, Dad, can we talk about this? And that's exactly what God wants. It's not so much that we doubt him. Sometimes we doubt his judgment. And when we do, we need to come to him and say, can we talk about this? This is how I'm feeling. Now, people in the Bible did this. Jeremiah was called to preach, and no one ever listened. He never got any response. In fact, they terribly persecuted him, and he suffered. And one time, Jeremiah was so down, he accused God of lying to him and cursed the day that he was born. Naomi, a famine hit the land. There was no work, no food, no income. And her husband and family moved to another location. And there they contracted some kind of disease. And the husband and the two sons died. And Naomi was left alone. She says, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, which means bitter. I'm bitter. David often thought, God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so distant? And here's Job. He's talking about it here. Now, it doesn't mean that these guys stop trusting God. Job said, though he slay me, I'm going to continue to trust him. David said, I'm just going to keep trusting, though I feel sometime that he has forsaken me. You know, telling God how you feel is actually a step of faith. Number one, you believe that God is there. Number two, you believe that he's listening. Otherwise, why talk to him about it? Number three, deep down inside, you're kind of aware of the fact that he must care. Otherwise, why bother? And faith is seeking God. And so when your heart is breaking, when you're going through a crisis, when things are difficult, when you just feel that you can't put another thing on your plate, maybe you're saying, God, I don't like it. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand, but I'm still going to believe in you. And here's the way I'm feeling. I'm struggling. That's the first step. of connecting with God in a crisis. Now, it's only the first step, but it's a step. And so tell him how you feel and pour out your heart as Job did. Now, secondly, when you're facing a crisis, in order to connect with God, bless the name of God. Don't curse it. In spite of the circumstances, bless the name of God. Turn back to chapter 1. Chapter 1. Look at verse 20. Job 1, verse 20. Then Job arose when all of this had happened to him. He rent his mantle. There's some emotions going on there. He shaved his head and fell down on the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked or with nothing came I out of my mother's womb, and naked or with nothing shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In crises, in tragedies, in heartache, in loss, in trouble, don't curse the name of God. Some people would damn him. Some people would take his son's name in vain. Some people would tell him to go to hell. There will be tragedies. There will be disruptions. And when things go wrong, let your response be to bless the name of God. Don't curse it. That's what Mrs. Job did. Look at chapter 2 and verse 9. Job chapter 2, just turn the page. Then said his wife unto him, do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die. Now this is what the book of Job is really all about. The question is this: will a person in relationship with God continue to bless and worship and love God even though he loses everything in life? Will he continue to love God when things go wrong? Now that's what Satan accused God of. Look at verse 9 of chapter 1, Job chapter 1, verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and says, does God fear God for nothing? Hast thou not made a hedge around him, or in other words, a protection around his house and about all that he has on every side? And haven't you blessed the work of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land? But, he says, you put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to his face. In other words, he's saying the only reason Job loves you or worships you is because you have given things to him. But you take those things away and he's going to curse you. And God says, oh, no, 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 he won't do that. And the narrative proves it right. So then Satan comes back in chapter 2. Flip the page there and look there. Chapter 2, verse 4. And Satan said to the Lord, skin for skin. Yea, a man, all that a man has, he'll give for his life. But put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. In other words, touch his health. You give him some kind of thing, that an affliction of the body, and he'll curse you. Now, isn't that the ultimate test of our faith? When we face tests like this, when things go wrong, when the bottom falls out, when we feel crushed, when our heart is breaking, are you still going to love God? Are you still going to trust him? Are you going to stay true? Are you going to believe him? You going to worship him? You going to come to church and bless his name? You see, the circumstances of our life doesn't change the character of God. God does not change. He loves you whether you're going through trial or whether you're not. He blesses you no matter what. He'll provide for you. He'll give you counsel. He'll lead you. And so when Job faced his crisis, he responded by blessing the name of the Lord. Well, now what did he bless him for? Well, number one, his goodness. Turn up to chapter 10, Job chapter 10. We have that little saying, God is good all the time. Some of the time, only when things are going good. God is good all the time. We know it, but do we really believe it? Will we bless God when we face times of adversity? Look at chapter 10 and verse 12, Job chapter 10 and verse 12. He says, Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation has preserved my spirit. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 8. He says, Can anything separate us from the love of God? Can tribulation, can distress, can persecution, can famine, can nakedness, can peril, can sword? And then he answered, No! In all of these things, we are more than conquerors. How? Through faith in the love of God, who loves us and sent his Son to die for us. Elsewhere, Paul put, God has promised to work all things together for good to them who love him. And thus he answered, I am persuaded. Death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come. No creature will be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's what Job is saying. Even in all of this, he says, wait a minute, I'm still alive. Isn't that the goodness of God? He has favored me. He has given. I came with nothing. I'm going to leave with nothing. And look at all the blessing I've had in between. And furthermore, his presence right now is ministering to my spirit. He is with me as I'm going through all of this. I will bless the name of the Lord for his goodness. Furthermore, he said, I'll bless him because he knows every detail of my life. Turn up to chapter 23. Chapter 23. And look at verse 10. Chapter 23, verse 10. He says, But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as good as gold. God knows what I'm going through, and God knows where it's going. Because when it's finished, I'm going to come forth as gold. Furthermore, he said, I'll bless him because he has a plan behind it all. Look at verse 14, chapter 23, verse 14. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And many such things are with him. Jeremiah put it this way, quoting God, he says, I know the plans that I have for you. Good plans. Plans of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. We don't see the entire picture, but God does, and we can bless him. His plan is unfolding in my life. Furthermore, he said, I will bless the name of the Lord, because he is all powerful. He can bring it all about. Look at verse 37, chapter 37, Job 37, verse 5. 37, verse 5. He says, God thundereth marvelous things with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. Skip up to verse 23. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power, in judgment, and plenty of justice, and he will not afflict. There's no limit to God's power. And he can bring about something good, even about that crisis which we're going through. Now you might wonder, well, why does God allow these things? Why is life so hard? Why is it just seem one bump of the other? Well, we live side by side with evil and good. And often, those who choose to do wrong, we are the victims of their hurt. Now, God could take it away, but he chooses not to because we're not puppets And he wants us to choose to love him. You see, love isn't genuine if it's forced. If you're forced to love, that's not love. But if you choose to love, that's another matter. God chose to love us, sin and all. And he wants us to choose to love him, trials and all. That's what the book of Job is all about. Will a person continue to love God even though he goes through tremendous trials? And that's why in hardship, it's so important that you connect with God. How? Well, you seek him. Tell him how you feel. Bless his name. Don't curse it. He is good. He knows what you're going through. He has a plan. He is all powerful and can bring it about. Number three, when facing a trial, you need to connect with God by asking him for the strength and help that you need in that trial. Turn back to chapter 12. Job chapter 12 and verse 13. Job 12, verse 13. Again, Job is speaking. This is what he believes in his heart. He says in verse 13, 12, 13, with him, that is with God, is wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. When your heart is breaking, when you're in confusion, when you're angry, you need to turn to God, not away from God. This is the time that you need to get closer, not distant, and ask him for wisdom and counsel and guidance and understanding to work your way through this. Hold your fingers here and turn up to the next book, Psalm chapter 3. Psalm, the very next book after Job, chapter 3. Here's what David wrote. His situation was similar, as yours will be also. Psalm chapter 3, verse 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say in my soul, there's no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. You see, he's connecting with God. He's turning to God. He's letting God know, I'm facing troubles, but this is what you are. He's blessing God. He isn't cursing him. So then what did he do? Verse 4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. You know the first sign of stress? You can't sleep. You know why? Your mind is thinking about it. You're going over and over and over again what you're angry about, what you're grieving over, what has you upset. And God says, you know why you can't sleep? Because you're not asking me. You're not looking to me. You're not trusting me for the strength and wisdom and counsel that you need. You don't have to fret. You don't have to take it into your own hands. You don't have to try to be God. You cry out, and I'll hear you and give you sleep. Turn up to Psalm 37. Sorry to make you flip around, but I want you to see these things. Psalm 37. Look at verse 39. Psalm 37, verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. You can translate that word salvation, deliverance. Where's the deliverance going to come from? Not from the psychologist, not from the doctor, not from this, not from that, not from this counsel, not from that counsel. From the Lord. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. God is waiting to strengthen you. God is waiting to counsel you during that time of crisis. How do you get? You cry out to him. It's like plugging into a power source. You plug in, and God jumps into action. So, when you're facing a trial, you let God know how you feel. You bless his name, don't curse it. You ask him for the strength and wisdom and counsel that you're going to need to get through this. Number four, when facing a crisis, connect with God by claiming his promise of hope. His promise of hope. If you've got hope, you have all the energy you need to carry on. If you don't have hope, you'll give up. You read the book of Job, and all through it, Job is either talking to God or about God. Why? Because he is certain, he is unshakable, unmovable in this. God was his hope. God would be true to who he is. God would bring him through. God would be his salvation. There are over 6,000 promises of hope in the Bible. Why does God give us so much hope? By the way, it's one of those things which are eternal. Faith, hope, love. Satan would try to demoralize us. He would try to immobilize us. He would try to destabilize us. He would try to paralyze us. So we give up. God's just the opposite. He gives hope to energize, to get us back on our feet, to move us forward, to bring about something that is beyond our imagination in this trial. And that's why at such a time we need hope. David would say, "Why are you so disquieted within you? Why are you so discouraged? Hope thou in God." That's what's going to bring you through. Turn up to 2 Corinthians. In the New Testament, past the Gospels, you have Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to see three reasons why we should not be discouraged in these short verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. Hurry along now. Come on, we need to find these passages. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. "For which cause we faint not." That word faint means no need to be discouraged. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't need to be discouraged. Why? Verse 16. "But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." The outward man is really controlled by the inward man. And though the outward man is perishing, the inward man gets excited day by day. It's renewed day by day. Verse 17, "For our light affliction..." Oh, you say it's not light. Well, if you want to call it heavy, it's okay. "For our heavy affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, which we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Three reasons why you and I should not get discouraged. Number one, because all that we face are temporal. Just for a season. Just for a short time in the scope of things. It will pass. Number two, because God is using this trouble for a greater purpose. That's what he's saying in verse 17. He says, he is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Something that we'll be able to glory about. And number three, because keeping our eyes from the Lord is going to bring us through. While we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. You see, God is the one stabilization we have in the midst of instability. Another passage, Hebrews 12. Sorry about that, but not too far from Revelation. While you're there, you might as well turn there. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27. Hebrews 12, verse 27. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things which are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. What's he saying? When you're connected with God, you belong to a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Now, the other kingdom will be shaken. But when you belong to God's kingdom, you belong to something which will never be removed. And thus, you don't need to be afraid. You have something which cannot be taken away. Now, that implies that you belong to the kingdom. If you're not sure of that, I would encourage you this morning to just turn your heart, your spirit to the Lord right now while you're sitting there in the pew and say, oh, God, I want you in my life. I want a relationship with you. I open up the doors of my heart and receive you. Forgive me. I want to follow you throughout my life. I want to seek you. I want you there rooting for me in my times of crisis and problems. Teach me your ways. You pray that even now, there in your pew, God will hear that. David said, if the foundations be destroyed, what do we do? Well, God says, connect with me. Let me ask, what is the foundation upon which your life is built? Is it a job? Is it a career? Is it your family? Is it your possessions? Are these things unshakable? Let me tell you, those things are very shakable. The only one thing that will give you stability in life is God. And you need to be connected with Him. You say, well, how? Well, tell him how you feel. Bless his name. Don't curse it. He's good. He knows what you're going through in life. He has a plan. He has the power to bring about. There's many things that you can bless him for. Ask him for the strength and wisdom that you need from day to day and claim his promise of hope, because he's your only hope. He's your only stability in the midst of instability. Now turn back to Job 42, the last chapter. How did it all turn out? Job 42, verse 10, last chapter, verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job, when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before, verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. And this is God. You can be sure, trial or not, God's purpose is to bless you. Now, maybe there are some things in your life right now that are all not that much, that are all not that much stable. Maybe there's something going on that is shaking you up a bit. Maybe you got lots of questions. What do? Well, connect with God. Don't distance yourself. Get closer. Tell him how you feel. Bless his name. Ask him for strength and counsel. Put your hope in him. He won't let you down. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the testimonies of the Lord. People who have gone on before us and who showed us how to respond rather than to react to the circumstances of life. And Lord, our days are no different. We face these same kinds of things. There are crises in our life, things that are not meant to distance us from God, but rather draw us closer, nearer to you. And I pray that that will be our response. Teach us not to react, but to respond. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue to reflect on this.